And speaking of the Red River Showdown, tomorrow at the Cotton Bowl, joining us now on the Buyer's Barricade Ticket Hotline is one of the most legendary players in the history of this game, two-time All-American, two-time Butkus Award winner, College Football Hall of Famer, Brian Bosworth. Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, guys. How are you? I'm hearing your show. You guys sound like you're having way too much fun with numbers.
We try to have fun.
Maybe.
I anticipate the kind of numbers on the scoreboard for tomorrow's game, so I like him.
Yeah. You know, Brian also is seen every weekend on the Dr. Pepper commercials. He plays the Sheriff of Fansville, and we understand that today you're high up in the Arbuckle Mountains with a big event.
Yes. We're in Davis, Oklahoma from 7 to 7. We've taken over the Arbuckle Mountain Fried Pies there in Davis, Oklahoma. Have you ever had a fried pie?
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Man, those things are outstanding. So Dr. Pepper has put together this amazing pit stop for those that are coming down for the game. So they're stop at get off at exit 51 and come over and see. Dr. Pepper's got very limited specialized memorabilia. There's going to be fried pies. There's going to be fried Dr. Pepper. I didn't know you could fry Dr. Pepper, but it's got to be good. And most importantly, there's free Dr. Pepper. So I told the guys between Davis and Dallas, there's going to be probably an increase of speed, miles per hour, to get back to Dallas because everybody's going to be so sugar-eyed and excited to get down to Dallas. So yeah, I'll be there from 11 to 2, directing traffic and putting on the show there in what we have deemed a future Fansville location. There.
Yeah, excellent. And you're playing the Sheriff of Fansville, and really since your football career ended, you've been acting on and off. Where is your acting career these days? Is it still a passion, something you pursue?
Yes, it has grown into a passion. I've got lots of different projects going on. Currently, we've got a show on the OWN network, Oprah Winfrey's network, called Ambitions. It should be coming back on. We started in June, ran the first 11 episodes, and then we'll run the second half of the first season starting here pretty quick. And that's on Tuesday nights. Then I have a new movie that's coming out, limited release, The Reliant. It's a Christian faith-based movie, very topical. It's about the moral responsibility of guns and the moral right to defend oneself. Versus, just the outright killing of somebody. So that's kind of topical, what's going on in our world right now. And then I have a Christmas movie called The Christmas Project 2 that should be out sometime in late November, early December. So I got the Christmas movie box checked. So I'm super excited, very blessed I'm able to continue to work. I have really enjoyed the passion projects that I've had over the last 2 years.
Well, the Fansville commercials are great, and you're great in them as the sheriff. I think my favorite one is the case you solve with who stole the national championship trophy, and it's Les Miles, and you arrest him after a lightning bolt strike. That's great, and I think you're really good at acting. The one thing I have noticed about you, though, and I don't know if you've noticed this about yourself, do you think you're starting to talk and sound a lot more like Barry Switzer as you get older?
You know, everybody has always said that Barry and I may have some sort of DNA link, and I'm not sure about that. But I'm super close to him. I love the man to death. He's going to be up here about a mile away from where we're going to be in Davis, so I'm going to give him a call. I can't get enough of him. He's just one of those coaches that, you know, he got the best out of me, and he does. And I think that's what makes him one of the best college football coaches that college ever had. And that's why we call him the king up there in Oklahoma. So we were blessed to have him. I was blessed to be able to play for him for the window of opportunity that we played for. And we had some magical years during that time.
This is Brian Bosworth with us here on the Ticket. So we've all been following this rivalry forever since we were born. And I have to say, I don't think that I've ever seen a player in this rivalry that disliked the other team more than you dislike Texas. I really don't think I've ever seen that. And that it appeared to not necessarily be a show. You seem to have a genuine dislike for the Longhorns.
I ain't gonna lie, that's 100% true. and I have softened over the year that I can managed to keep my emotions in check for 364 days and 59 hours. But for that 1 hour, brother, burnt orange just makes me puke.
That sounds a little unusual from a MacArthur Cardinal. What was it that was it just when you signed with Oklahoma, or was it some experience you had maybe being recruited or not being recruited by Texas?
Not so much that. As keep in mind, I was born in Oklahoma, kidnapped by my parents and held hostage down here in Texas. So I was able to go back as a young child from 6 to 13 and visit my grandparents on their farm in Eaker, Oklahoma, and spent a lot of time. And my grandfather could never come see me play. He heard through my parents how good of an athlete I was. And I remember one day we were driving in the truck to go pick up some feed for the cows, and he said, I'd love to come down and watch you play. I'm not going to be able to do it, but if you'll do me a favor, if you ever make it to the college club, come down and play at this little school down the street, and I promise I'll come watch you play. And that little school down the street was Oklahoma. And from that moment on, that seed was planted that I'd wanted to keep that promise from my grandfather.
So even though you played in a ton of big games, including what was basically the national championship game against Penn State, were the Texas games the biggest and the most memorable of your college career?
No question about it. If I could, I would put Texas on the schedule for 12 straight weeks. I hated them so much and would love to beat them 12 straight weeks. You know, there's just something about that game. And when you walk in the Cotton Bowl, and I love the fact that it's a 50-50 game, and they put it on a neutral site. And there's you got a lot of players from both states playing, and they cross the state lines. And there is a lot of emotions, and there's a lot of families that have to pick between one or another. And I love the fact that it's reemerged and Texas is back in their powerful stance, and it just is great for college football. They found a quarterback that makes their engine run. They found a kind of a Fred Akers 2.0 with their new coach, Tom Herman. So it just brings the right kind of element and flavor to what I think is the best college football rivalry in college football.
It's Brian Bosworth with us on the ticket, Texas and Oklahoma tomorrow. And when you played in this game, it was a very physical game. I'm sure it'll be physical again tomorrow. But what college football has turned into, could you imagine playing linebacker in all the ground you have to cover now with these spread offenses, especially in the Big 12?
I wouldn't have a problem with it. It actually would free me up because I felt speed was one of my attributes. The one thing that college linebackers, and I was talking to Coach Odoms up in Norman this last summer, is they've lost the capacity to break down in space. They get there quickly, but they feel like there's a panic. If they don't get in the space quick enough, that they're going to lose and miss their opportunity to make contact. But if they're not in the right form, if they're not fundamentally in a sound position to stop, break down, get in position, then move right and left, east and west, they're going to make mistakes and they're going to miss tackles. But to me, the game is really still about education. What kind of play, what kind of position are they in? What kind of formation? What do they do out of that formation? What happens when they're down in distance? You can pick up the same idiosyncrasies in these offenses. It's just a matter of being instinctive enough to know what the ball is going to do when the ball is snapped and what they're trying to do to you. So you kind of anticipate that, but you do that during the week and you get educated so that when you're on the football field and you see these signs of what's happening, then you don't have to sit and guess and read and react. You can just instinctively go attack. But the other problem, I don't know that I could play in today's game because of all the everybody's being very sensitive about hitting the quarterback and hitting him in the head. And my main objective was hitting him in the chin strap or hitting him in the ear hole, because if you can ding the quarterback up a little bit in his head, he's not going to be very effective for four quarters.
Yeah, it was definitely a different game back then.
Yeah.
I was reading a really good article in The Ringer about you, and I'm just going to read from it. As Jay-Z would say, Brian Bosworth was a businessman, not a businessman. Bos printed T-shirts, planned on selling jeans. He was an American pioneer, the first NFL player to truly conceive of himself as a brand And it's become so common now, it's hard to remember just how groundbreaking the concept was back in the mid-'80s. As you were growing into the Boz, your alter ego, how much of that was thought out and how much of it just kind of happened organically?
At the beginning, all of it was organic. All of it was just, I was in the moment, I felt the moment, somebody asked me a question, I was truthful, transparent, and honest to a fault. Even Coach Fitzer would come up and tell me, you know, I understand what you're feeling, but sometimes it would be helpful if you would just kind of vanilla the answer a little bit and maybe be more politically correct. But ironically, that coming from Coach Fitzer, if you listen to some of his statements back in the day, he was the same way.
Right.
So I kind of mimicked the way Coach was, and he gave us the autonomy to just be ourselves. At some point in time, the whole Boz image took another acceleration. And as I look back on it, cloudy then, clear now, it was the people that I had allowed around me that then took what I was doing naturally to a more contrived and manufactured level. And at some point in time, that manufacturing of the Boz became an institution, more of a business side, and I lost control of it. And that's when I kind of lost just myself. I turned around and one day realized, I don't know how I got to this place. And it just became like, a different entity. And I felt like I always had to be on and always had to do things that I necessarily didn't agree with. I just wanted to focus on football. But at that point in time, there were so many things that were placed in front of me and on the table. And here's your agenda, and here's where we're doing, and here's why we're doing it. It became an overwhelming concept, and the business plan became more of manufacturing the Boz on a worldwide schedule as opposed to just getting him ready for the next game we're playing.
And that was captured in that 30 for 30, Brian and the Boz. And it was really powerful seeing you and your son going through all of that memorabilia and seeing you with regret about some of that. He looked at it and thought, oh, this is funny. This is really cool. And you didn't have the same reaction.
Yeah, you know, when you look back on your life and you can see, especially when you're in a place that you don't like yourself being, and you can look back and you can always reflect and how did I get here? Well, you can look yourself in the mirror and find out it's usually the choices that you made. You can point your finger at all the other things and all the other people that you can blame that put you in a position where you don't like where you're at in the present time, but it's really your choice, and it's the choices that you make. And if you surround yourself with wolves and you end up taking the characteristics on as a wolf, then you've lost that shepherdism. And to me, I always felt like I had a difference, instilled in me, and I had a God gift, and I lost sight of that God gift. And when you do that, you lose some of the best attributes that God gives you, which is passion and acceptance and truth and humility. And I was great at the passion and the acceptance and the athleticism and the truth and the trust part of it, but I'd lost the humility part. And when you lose humility and you lose that ability to be honored honor the gift that you have, then the little things in life become major problems that you try to fix individually. And as far as I know, any human that tries to fix their own problems fail. You have to give it back to God and ask him for an opportunity to come in and help me, because I can't do it alone. But if I have your help and I have your assistance and I have trust and faith in you, then I know we can do it together.
I was going to ask you if you had a pick in tomorrow's game, but that's probably a bad question.
Well, you know my pick. I like both teams. I like where both teams are at. I'm a little worried about we've got some injuries that we're dealing with. We've got great depth, and the coaches do a great job of moving guys around. To me, this game always, in the last two or three years, has come down to maintaining control of Sam. If you can just make Sam keep his eyes down instead of looking upfield, mm-hmm. and know that if he wants to tuck the ball and do it with his legs, that if he knows that there's going to be somebody that's going to make contact with him on either side of the ball, coming from the east or the west, and they've got a spy on him, then he'll start questioning himself, and he'll start pushing and pressing, and he'll start making those throws that he shouldn't make. But he's matured over the last two or three years, and it's been a while, probably since Vince, that Texas has had a leader like Sam Ehlinger. And as Sam goes and the success that Texas has, you can always go back and why are they doing such a great job during the course of a game, even though they may be outmatched. It's because Sam has put the team on his shoulders, and he's literally carrying them down the field.
Hey, Brian, we appreciate the time. Have fun this weekend, and enjoy your time up in the Arbuckle Mountains at the Dr. Pepper Fansville Pit Stop.
Come see me, 11 to 2. Looking forward to it. Free Dr. Pepper.
All right.
He sounded like Switzer there.
He did. He really did.
Exactly like in there at the end.
All right, that's the great Brian Bosworth with us here on The Ticket. That'll get you fired up for the game tomorrow.